Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
In many churches around the world, you can see grand stained glass windows. Sandra and I have visited in Europe, and many times we have been in awe of the beautiful work that was done to put up this medieval stained glass. You can see the artist's rendition of the heroes of the faith. You can see Moses. You can see the apostles, David, even Jesus. And sometimes these scenes depict Bible verses that you have become acquainted with. They become something that you see yourself. You see the birth of Christ. And sometimes in the birth of Christ, you see all kinds of things. You see the wise men who gathered there, the shepherds, the oxen, the sheep. And right in the middle, you see the Holy Family. You see Joseph and Mary. Perhaps you see the Christ child. It is that stained glass image of Mary that we want to explore today. You will remember her story. An angel appeared to Mary and announced that she would bear a son who would be the Messiah. The long-awaited one would come to this poor little handmaiden. And like every young girl her age, she would have prayed that the Messiah would come through her. And yet the angel says, it will come to you. And she says, I have yet to know a man. I do not know a man. And so you can imagine her surprise and awe when she hustled off to tell her cousin Elizabeth about this amazing experience that she had had. Kind of like when we first become a Christian. We have Jesus in our hearts, and we want to tell everybody about it. Perhaps you can relate to that. She hustles off to tell her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is great with child. And the child within her leaps in recognition of the child that Mary carries in her womb. And the spirit of Elijah was upon John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was in Elizabeth. And he was the one who would proclaim the coming of the Messiah. And so in this way, the miracle begins to unfold. We have Elizabeth rejoicing with Mary, and she's excited because Mary is excited. And she knows because the baby has leaped within her that what Mary says is true. Then Mary sings what we now call the Magnificat, because it comes from the Latin Vulgate, which means, my heart magnifies the Lord. Is your heart fearful today, or does it magnify the Lord? Let us go before Him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You that You have loved us with a love that so excites us, that we too, like Mary, want to tell everybody about it, what You've done for us, how You healed us in the past, and how we know healing is coming. Healing is on its way in the future. Oh, the doctors may say that healing will cost us, in their estimation, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And we can't see how we could take the medicine that would help us in our pain. But you are there, and you are the great physician. You are the one that heals us. And we thank you for that. We give you praise and glory that in the midst of our depression, in the midst of our anguish, you can bring us peace that passes understanding. We thank you that you are within us, that we carry you in us who have received you as our Lord and Savior, that we are now the Christ bearers. And we should say to all the world, my heart magnifies the Lord. Father, will you please speak to us today? I do not have the eloquence of words, as you well know, to speak to the hearts of the people here. It is only by your power and your grace that they shall hear the message that you want them to hear today. Cast aside all the things that I've thought about. May you and you alone be exalted. May you be magnified. Because your Spirit is speaking to us and making us alive in Christ Jesus. Father, we know that you make all things new. We ask that you bring that newness into our life, that we may see with new eyes, hear with new ears, what only you can say. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would you turn with me to Luke, and I'll be reading 46 through 55. This is what Mary said. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. And behold, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name, and His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel. In remembrance of His mercy, He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. What did you hear? Do you think that she was singing a Hebrew folk song? No. An Aramaic lullaby? No. Well, maybe it's an anthem. No. It is Mary's song of freedom. It is Mary's freedom song. She is giving God the joy of her heart, the longing of her desires, because she expects the world will be turned upside down by this child she bears, who is lodging for a short time in her womb. She remembers the words of the prophets, and she knows that they are true. She remembers when the prophet says, justice will run down like waters and righteousness like ever-flowing streams. She anticipates that the Holy One that she carries will embody that promise. She asserts that Christmas makes everybody take a U-turn and about-face, because the world is about to be turned topsy-turvy, upside down. Mary speaks of one who shows strength of his arm and scatters the proud in the thought of their hearts. Mary is not a meek and mild child bride that we have all come to expect from the images that we have seen. She is a flesh and blood woman. She is a woman filled with grit. She knows that God's promises have been realized in her. And she is totally submitted to God. She knows that the scattered thoughts of men deals with not just some phrase, some beautiful picture that you may conjure up in your minds. She knows that that means that hatred, fraud, anger are dissipated. They're gone because God has sent His Prince of Peace into the world. It's easy for us to say, kill those people who are threatening us instead of being good to those who spitefully use us. It's good for us, we think, to say, oh, well, let's destroy all these people. Let's throw all these people away. They're disobedient. They're our law. Are they obedient to God's law? We're not to judge others. We're to judge not lest we be judged, and by the same judgment we use, that same judgment will be upon us. She knows that. Scattered. Their lies and deceptions and fraud. She has no sense of satisfaction with people who give us propaganda instead of straight talk. She's not like that. She is a woman. And she knows that the one she carries only tells the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the truth. She carries that truth within her. She knows that that truth will tear the veils from all the politicians and all the talking heads and all the fraudulent things that people say to aggrandize themselves. She knows that the one she carries won't put up with it. She knows that the one she carries will not be deceived by it. She has a dislike for those who scapegoat others and who use their various rationales to hide and justify their own evil deeds. Mary knows well that deception in high places leads to distrust and corruption. She realizes that the laws of men fail because of that corruption. She can see that what has happened in the past is what's going to happen in the future. And she knows that the one she carries is the Savior, the one that can change the hearts of men. She knows that spinning the truth is no substitution for telling the truth. She knows that the higher institutions, the priesthood, the universities of our time are all seeped with the poison of lies. And all of these things turns to personal sin. Because when we don't believe that we were created, that we were just simply thrown into a primordial mist of some description, that we're actually Martians, if we believe that kind of lie, then we have no reason to live because we do not recognize the divine spark that is within each human being. The proud are scattered by the thoughts of their hearts. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever been scattered with the thoughts of your hearts? Have you ever desired something that got thrown away because it wasn't fit I have. I pursued my own personal glory. I pursued my own personal wealth. I pursued things for me. And I regret it. And I'm sorry for it. Mary sees that. There's no stained glass, Mary, here. No. There's no plastic Jesus or plastic Mary or plastic Joseph. There's no hero made out of stone or marble. There is, in fact, a woman of flesh and blood who is totally submitted to God and whose hope is in the promises of God. She knows that God has reached down to her and given her the grace to receive the unthinkable gift. She knows it. And so she is a rebel. She is a revolutionary. She comes from a whole line of revolutionaries, rebels. Moses' mother was a rebel. The Pharaoh said, "Let all the male boys be killed." She didn't regard that as being the last word. As a matter of fact, she took her child, and when he began to cry too much, she put him in a little ark and told her daughter to make sure that ark was placed in the Nile and that it was placed in a place where it would go into the bathing quarters of the queen, the royal house. That's what Moses means. He came out of water. She was a rebel. Moses grew up to be a rebel. He said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And through faith in God and through God's strength and God's direction, he led the people out across the desert into the promised land. Moses left a whole group of rebels behind him, Joshua and others, who took the land by force. They were not meek and mild people. They were people of grit and substance. Then there came the prophets. The prophets were rebelling against the laws of men, and they spoke truth to power. And they, too, were rebels. Jesus himself was a rebel, a revolutionary. Not like the Sandinistas like to portray him in their liberation theology with holding an AK-47 in his hand. No. He had the Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. And he was a rebel. You and I are called, as was the Apostle Paul, into this rebel kind of rebellion against man and his laws. We're going to face many hardships in this life. Jesus said we would. He said, "Whatever they've done to you, me, they'll do to you." But we're not to take arms against that. We're not to pick up pipe bombs and guns and make IEDs and things like that. We're not to do that. We are armed with the armor of God and the Word of God. But we're rebels nonetheless. Because our job, like Paul's, was to speak truth to power. And while they're trying to kill us, and while they're trying to destroy everything that we stand for, we need to stand and fight with the tools that God has given us, the promises of God. We're called into a great rebellion, a rebellion against the princes of this world, so that they will bow and every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that His kingdom may come upon the earth. That is what the church triumphant should be doing. We are taught to give our lives away freely. Why do you think that young people are drawn to the ISIS and to other kinds of cult-like places? It's because they do not hear a message that calls people to the great calling of God. They do not realize that the people who followed Jesus Christ were rebels, rebels against all the things of that world. That Mary, who was a woman in a place where women were not created equal in the eyes of men, and where she, being a single mother, would have been stoned to death by the very people that said they cared about her. We're talking about women who could be easily cast aside and divorced by simply a man saying, "I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you." That was it. They had no rights. She grew up in that position. She knew that she would have an arduous journey ahead of her. She knew that she would be on a donkey, riding through the hills that are not picturesque. If any of you have ever been to Israel, you realize that it's not all picturesque. Sometimes it's all uphill and rocky. And she's riding on a donkey's back through lands that are inhabited by thieves and robbers to get to Bethlehem, because that's where her husband was told to go. And that is where the Bible, more importantly, said that Jesus would be born. She was willing to risk it all. Are you willing to risk it all? Are you willing to give your life away so freely in the service of God? Mary sees the Christmas season as a call to arms, not some Hallmark card sort of slogan, not some warm, sentimental, fuzzy thing that you forget the next moment, not just filled with commercialism and presents and all the kinds of things that men can give one another, but the expression of God's love and calling was upon them. Mary knew that. We are here to give ourselves away to follow our revolutionary leader by carrying our cross into the battle. And if you've never prayed and you've never done spiritual battle against the one who would kill you and destroy you, then you really have never taken up arms against the devil and his dominion. And we're to do it every day. That is what spiritual warfare is all about. To stand boldly. Boldly against the night that's encroaching upon everybody. Have you noticed? Everybody says to me, "Oh my goodness gracious, look how terrible things are coming about in our society, in our culture. It's not like it was when I was a kid. It's not like it was." It's because the darkness is winning the battle. The light of Christ is retreating from the battlefield. We cannot retreat. We cannot leave our weapons on the battlefield for the enemy to have. We are to take charge and to win the battle. The star showed the wise men the Shekinah glory of God where Jesus was. We are to carry the cross of Christ burning into the night so that we can lead people out of the darkness into the light and into the life that is in Jesus Christ. Where God's promises were all laid in a feeding trough in Bethlehem, we're to lay our lives out like Christ. Mary knew that it would change everything. The invasion of God into our world changes everything. Changes us, makes us new creatures. It changes us. Change is a part of what we are. We may have been meek and mild at some point, but we're not meek and mild any longer. At least I'm not. Mary knew it would change us. Do you know it too? Has the Spirit of God come upon you to enter you sometime in the past? Has the Spirit of God transformed you? Has your nature become a true revolutionary for God? Or are you still sitting on the sidelines? Have you been inoculated with enough Jesus just to get through the night? What's going on? Are you willing to serve God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your spirit? Or do you keep a little of that heart, mind, and spirit for the world? Do we accept defeat lying down? Do we allow the bully to kick dust in our feet? No! Christ has given us the keys to the kingdom. He's given us the power to stand, and having done all, to stand. Are you willing to follow Him into the future, even if it means He's going to turn your world upside down? And He will. If your answer is yes, I'm willing to follow Christ into the future. I'm willing to be covered with the dust of my rabbi. I want to walk so closely behind Him that the dust from His sandals covers me. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to have your world turned upside down? Or if your answer is yes, and you say, yes, I'm ready for the difficult journey, I'm ready for the hard journey, the journey of trials and tribulations, the journey through this battlefield we call earth, I'm ready, then I would want you to do one other thing. I would want you to say, yes, I accept my role as a soldier of the cross. I will receive the armor of God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I will be a leader this year and for every year because Jesus came to show me the way. He is the way. I will stand for things that He stands for. I want to be a revolutionary with Jesus as my commander. I want to be new, to take control. You know, Jesus told His disciples, the people who loved Him, to go out into the world, to heal the sick, to bind up the brokenhearted, to reach into the human population with love and touch them with His hand. We are to do just what the disciples were to do. First in Jerusalem, and then in Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. We are not plaster saints. We're not stained glass marble heroes. We are people who are made in the image of God. We have flesh on the outside, but inside, if you have been receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are transformed. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. What does Christmas mean? Christmas means that we start afresh, anew. Mary knew that what she would give birth to would be someone who would change the world. All of you are like Mary in that respect. You have within you the power to transform the world, to turn it upside down. That is our invitation for the day, to become not merely a believer, but a soldier of the cross. To receive what Mary received, the promises of God made flesh within her. Will you allow the promises of God to transform you and make you real, a real revolutionary for Christ?
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.